Hello, everyone, and welcome to No Planet B, a podcast where we're talking about climate change and its effects on Planet A. I'm Wyatt.
And this is Brianna.
We still wanted to make an episode this week. We just wanted to keep things relatively positive because of everything that's going on. We wanted to keep things kind of nice and relatively uplifting because we have the privilege right now to do so. Brianna and I are kind of just both socially isolated. I've been sitting around all day reading and playing Animal Crossing. And if any of you guys are playing Animal Crossing, I'm definitely going to put my friend code on the Instagram. So stay updated with that.
I'd like to mention that this is what Wyatt usually does, regardless of the current situation.
So. This is what Wyatt would do. This is, to be fair to, yes. This is what Wyatt would do. This is fine. Socially isolating feels right for me.
You start and then I'll say some goofy banter.
Okay, so I'll just so we're clear before I do this, I'll start and then you do some goofy banter.
Yes.
Okay. This episode of No Planet B is brought to you by Big Ben Strength. Big Ben Strength is a coaching outfit that advocates confidence through strength. And right now they're actually running some really cool programs and really cool deals online for those of us that have to stay home, that can't go to a gym. There are dumbbell workouts, there are body weight workouts, anything for you at home that can't make it to a gym or don't want to, that are social distancing and isolating, and that still want to stay fit, stay healthy, and maybe even get stronger. So that is bigbendsc.com. That's bigbendsc.com. And their Instagram handle is Big Ben Strength and Conditioning. If you want to see any of their videos or any of their updates, they're plentiful there. Bri, are you working out at home?
Every day. Actually, every other hour, really. It's gotten to the point where my legs are so large that I have to get larger pants.
You have to get larger pants. That's that witty banter that we all love to hear. She said, to be fair, put it on the record that she said, you do the ad and I'll come in and do some goofy banter. And her goofy banter is, I've been working out so hard, I have to buy bigger pants. So we're good. We're in the clear. Both scientifically and comedically, we're clear. And that's all we have to say. Yeah, so it's Big Ben Strength, bigbendsc.com, and Big Ben Strength and Conditioning on Instagram. So hopefully we'll see y'all working out, staying smart, and staying fit. So, we wanted to start with a couple things going on in China. There are studies right now that come from NASA images of the air pollution over China. Right now, it's showing that the air pollution over China has decreased significantly. I think approximately it's 25% across China, but it's mostly the northeastern region. The number of emitted pollutants has decreased significantly, and that includes nitrogen dioxide, which is bad for the respiratory system of humans, and it also causes acid rain. Another one that's decreased is PM2.5. That can also exacerbate lung and heart conditions and can affect people's quality of life as well as like pre-existing conditions. So the decrease here is caused by the slow in industry because things have been shutting down due to the coronavirus. And with industry slowing down, there's less pollution. And so there's a economist by the name of Marshall Burke at Stanford University who's been doing quick calculations on this, like looking at this NASA image and looking at the data, saying that the reduction in PM2.5 has saved the lives of 4,000 kids under 5 years old and 73,000 adults over 70 in China. He does this calculation based on the amount of particulate matter that's no longer in the atmosphere due to this. and the health concerns that that particulate matter would have caused if it were there.
But is this necessarily a silver lining?
So that's something we want to be careful about saying. No, because silver lining implies that it's just a weird thing to say when something so negative is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's by no means justifying anything that's currently going on with the pandemic. Marshall Burke, who is doing these calculations, claims, I know my own carbon footprint is going to go down by probably 75% this year. Hopefully we can translate these experiments into more durable changes in how we do things once, hopefully, the epidemic is under control.
So would you say this is proof that it is possible to decrease our emissions?
I guess only time will tell on that one, how this kind of pans out. Well, with the emissions going down, isn't that kind of proof that we can do these things and still survive?
Yeah.
And like continue on as a society, which is interesting to think about. But I think only time will tell how we come back from this. But I think it's really cool to think about that we could be capable of these things.
Right. We just have to all do it on a worldwide scale.
Mm-hmm.
Italy is actually surpassing China in its cases and deaths, correct? It's been interesting to see the emissions also plummet there as well. And this is due to the lack of like greenhouse gas emissions from transportation and cars and diesel fuel. And then there's been a lot of talk about how the Venice waterways are clear now. That's not necessarily a reduction of pollution. It's just that the transportation on the waters makes the water very murky.
Mm.
And once that settles down, you can see all of the fish. But in this article, it's talking about how that opens up people to be able to study that important biosphere in the waters. It's just not really something you can do when there's so much transportation going on and the waters are super murky. But yeah, we have a 7-day composite illustration here from January 1st to March 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows the reduction of the nitrogen dioxide concentration over northern Italy. Now that the businesses and all the economic activities that would normally contribute to pollution have slowed,
yeah,
there's been a slow in the emissions in the air. And you can see that from satellite data.
Mm.
This isn't necessarily a long-term thing. Like you were saying, only time would tell.
Yeah. Apparently the water's so clear that birds can now like dive into the water to get fish. So like certain, swans are kind of coming back now. Ducks are making nests. There's a little more biodiversity in the water. That's really interesting. So another news article, this one is not coronavirus related in any way. Wells Fargo, one of the world's biggest mega banks, has made a commitment to stop funding oil and gas drilling in the Arctic region, which includes the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. They also committed to withdrawing funding from coal-related enterprises. So that's two relatively big wins for the Arctic and for the environment in general. They released a statement saying that they don't think it's appropriate to stop financing certain things just because there's public opposition for it. And they continued to say, we're here for risk management and we want to look at the spectrum of risks, including market conditions, reputation risk, social and environmental considerations. So they're basically saying that they're doing this not just because of public opposition, but because this is actually an environmental issue. This is actually a social issue because of the natives that live there. Maybe it's naive, but I think the way they're saying, like, you know, we're not just doing this because you guys are saying this, we're doing this because this is actually an issue. I think in an ideal world, that shows a lot of integrity. And this was in their release where they were talking about what they're investing in and what they're stopping their investments in. And they noted that climate change is one of the most urgent environmental and social issues of our time, noting the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change as one of the biggest representations of that, saying that we need to reduce carbon emissions and prevent climate-related impacts. They were very clear about how they supported the Paris Agreement and its goals to keep warming below 2 degrees. Also, not only did they cut funding from oil, gas, and coal, but they also announced that they're providing $200 billion in financing to sustainable businesses and projects by 2030, which is very cool. And more than 50% of that is set for renewable energy, clean technology, and green building transactions. So Wells Fargo might be setting a pretty good example for other investors and other banks around the world.
Yeah, except that between 2016 and 2018,
yeah,
according to the 2019 Banking on Climate Report, the bank funded over $150 billion in fossil fuel projects.
Mm. Yeah.
So let's see if they can turn this around.
Yeah, that's a very important note, is to contextualize it to make sure we understand kind of where they're coming from. It's cool to see this press release and to think, oh, cool, they're making a good change and all the natives in the Arctic are pretty happy about it. But also it's another thing where, you know, only time will tell. We're trying to be positive here, but also only time will tell.
Wells Fargo canceled. Just kidding.
Wells Fargo canceled. You didn't meet the goals in 1 month, canceled.
What are your thoughts on cancel culture? Irrelevant, but...
Cancel culture? My favorite version of cancel culture is when I get to cancel my plans and stay home and play Animal Crossing. That's all I know.
So really, this time of chaos is just normal to you.
No, Bree, what do you think? As someone who's off the grid, what do you think of cancel culture?
I think it depends. I think it depends on the person, because there's some situations where people can change and grow up and be better people. But then there's some situations where things mm-hmm. can be unforgivable, but that depends on your stances on what they did. Like, I canceled Wyatt one time.
Okay.
Because...
We agreed never to talk about that.
This was me, actually. I said, let's go eat at Arby's. So I can't cancel Wyatt. It was me.
You thought for a second that I had said, let's go eat at Arby's, when in reality, it was you that said, let's go eat at Arby's.
I don't know why I was about to blame that on yeah. you. Now I
You know what's wacky?
Canceled.
Yeah, I'm going to have to cancel you now, I think. Jeez, oh, Pete. Brianna Waterman canceled.
I like that this whole argument came up because I was trying to cancel you, but really it just backfired.
Right, yeah. It backfired in literally the only wrong direction that it could have. It was you.
Back to Wells Fargo.
Back to Wells Fargo. Yep, so we're excited about them saying that, but, you know, who knows? Being positive, I think, is important. Being skeptical is also important, and sometimes those two things can conflict. But right now... Right now, we let the positive win, okay?
Okay. We might insert a clip of Jellyfish Jam. We're still debating it.
Yeah, we wanted to put something sort of another positive influence into the episode. Something kind of just to cheer us all up.
So, Project Drawdown. What is that, you might ask? And to that question, I answer, it's a climate solution for a new decade. yeah, that's what it is. And we're going to talk about it. It's a highly collaborative effort, and the work presented here is the creation of many, not one.
Project Drawdown is like a group of researchers that are coming up with solutions to climate change, and they have a review that they just published in, I believe, 2020, like very, very recently, that has... a lot of hopeful sentiments in it, and it has 10 key takeaways, and I think Brianna and I are just going to talk about the ones that we thought were pretty hopeful and pretty significant. And I'm going to start with number one. So drawdown is the idea that our carbon emissions finally start to go down. Obviously right now they're going up and up and up, and Project Drawdown, the whole deal is to find solutions to reach what they're calling is the drawdown, which is carbon emissions going down. So number one is that we can reach drawdown by mid-century if we scale the climate solutions already in hand. They're saying that we already have all the tools in our arsenal to reach drawdown, to reach the point where our carbon emissions are going down. It's literally just a matter of implementing them and scaling them up and up and up. And they're saying that we now, with the society and with the technology that we have, we're well capable of reaching this point of drawdown, which is ambitious and is very, very positive and is cool to read. And I enjoyed reading number one. Brie?
Five. The majority of climate solutions reduce or replace the use of fossil fuels. We must accelerate these solutions while actively stopping the use of coal, oil, and gas.
Yeah, the use of fossil fuels, we all know, drives roughly 2/3 of heat-trapping emissions worldwide. So if we can reduce or replace this, that would definitely help. Yeah. A similar stop-start dynamic exists within food, agriculture, and land use, ending practices and advancing helpful ones.
Number 3. Beyond addressing greenhouse gases, climate solutions can have co-benefits that contribute to a better, more equitable world. So this is like the idea that reducing CO2 emissions won't just be a benefit towards climate change, but it will also be a health solution. It'll help protect human health. Other ones that they list as examples are things that will restore ecosystems, that'll restore biodiversity, create jobs, work on equity in certain parts of the world, and yeah.
So number 7, some of the most powerful climate solutions receive comparably little attention. Some of these solutions that aren't getting as much attention would be food waste reduction, eating a plant-rich diet, preventing leaks, and improving your disposal of chemical refrigerants. And a lot of these refrigerants have potent greenhouse gases, so yeah, that needs to get better. The restoration of temperate and tropical forests, which are our huge, powerful carbon sinks that are necessary for our carbon cycle, and the access to high-quality, voluntary reproductive healthcare and high-quality, inclusive education, which we had talked about in another episode, how the education of women and better healthcare and reproductive education would be good for the environment, since women are the people that are reproducing, and if they have a higher education, they're going to be reproducing less, which in turn gives us not as much of a population boom. If you think of how much goes into food production, the fact that you're wasting it is horrible, because I mean, so much energy is used to produce your food.
Yeah.
So that's nuts.
So that's nuts. Number 4. These numbers being all out of order is wacky, and I apologize. The financial case for climate solutions is crystal clear, as savings significantly outweigh costs. So this comes from a lot of different articles and a lot of studies by the IPCC. Overall, net operational savings exceed net implementation costs 4 to 5 times over. And so, yeah, climate change mitigation and adaptation are not only going to be good ideas for lots of intuitive reasons, but also it's going to be economically viable. Bree, you ready for the last one?
I feel like this went by too fast. I'm feeling a lot of things right now. All right, guys, you can say as much as you want, but you got to commit to it.
Boom. Wells Fargo, are you listening?
Boom, roasted.
Wells Fargo, are you listening?
Boom, roasted. Arby's, are you listening?
Brianna, are you listening? Are you listening? You eat at Arby's.
Wyatt.
Are you eating at Arby's?
It was a one-time thing. It was a sad situation. There was nothing
else.
Yeah,
it was unfortunate.
For miles. I was hungry. We all make mistakes, Wyatt. Anyway, number 10.
Some worse than others, but yeah, go on. Yeah, number 10.
We need to commit, collaborate, and make this possibility a reality.
Yeah.
Together, we need to do this.
Together, everyone, we can do this, and we will do this.
Yeah, what he said.
Yeah. So that's positive. Cool, yeah, so that's Project Drawdown. We've talked about them before, and we'll probably talk about them again. They're pretty neat. They have a very cool report that you can read. We'll put it in our show notes. It's very pretty. I enjoy reading it a lot. And our final positive article, unfortunately, is one that Brianna doesn't love. Brianna, We saved it for last because it's kind of a weird concept, but it's about fisheries. We're talking about fisheries now. We're tired of talking about everything else. It's finally time we spoke about fisheries. So there's an article published by the Public Library of Online Science talking about fisheries.
It's not the Public Library of Sandwiches.
It's not the Public Library of Sandwiches, but if you went to a public library of sandwiches, Brie, what sandwich would you get?
So I really like...
Why'd you sigh like that?
No, I like the salty meats. Like, I like, what's it called? Salami?
Like Like sort of an Arby's roast beef.
And people are going to roast us for liking meat, and I totally get that. I actually really try not to eat a lot of meat. And
yeah, same. As an Italian born, I have also eaten a lot of salami in my life.
Yeah.
I love Italian subs. There, I said it.
So, you know,
I'd probably go for a Reuben.
Yeah, you seem like a Reuben guy. You seem,
what does that mean?
You just... Yeah, you seem like that guy that's like, oh, I'd get a Reuben. You guys got Reubens here. You guys
some
got...
Shit, some guy, some like, shit Sonny Wyatt would say.
It's clearly not on the menu, and you're like, do you guys make Reubens? Like, you got... Do you guys do that here?
I don't know if I'm offended or not. I think I am.
And then they'll be like,
I'll call
bro,
you tomorrow.
Like, we can do it, but offended. It's not on the menu, you know?
Why?
And then they'll have to get the only guy in the store that knows how to do it. He'll have to, like, come out. He'll come out of the back room.
Derek knows how to make it.
Yeah, so hey, Derek will come out, and Derek will be like, oh, all right.
This is a public library of sandwiches. Gosh darn it.
Yeah, so that's what would happen. And then if I ordered an Italian, they'd be like, all right, sure, that's on the menu. That's reasonable, but...
That's reasonable. And they tell you, they say, you seem more like an Arby's girl, but yeah, we can do that. That's fine. So, the Public Library of Science released an article about fisheries management and how there are reforms that could help them through climate change, basically. It evaluates different climate scenarios and evaluates different management styles and reforms that they can make. Fisheries in the, I believe, United States, but actually, nope, it's all over the world. Misspoke. So the key takeaway from this article is that the reforms that will help these fisheries adapt to climate change are also the reforms that will help them be more profitable and bring in higher yields compared to right now. So basically, they haven't analyzed these management strategies, and they've listed them as well, so it's very, very helpful. It's not just saying, hey, fisheries could do this. It's saying fisheries ought to do these specific things. And these specific things will help them adapt to climate change and will also be economically viable. So the solutions that will help them through climate change will also help them improve profits in the future. Around, I think, 2050 is the time frame that they project here. All right, well, if you enjoyed the episode, the most helpful thing you can do is share with a friend, share it with a neighbor, a teacher. Yeah, follow us on Instagram at NoPlanetBcast or on Twitter with the same name, NoPlanetBcast. Send us your emails at NoPlanetBFSU@gmail.com.
I also want to see more like climate memes. I feel like those are hard to come by.
They are hard to come by. And I do like seeing them every time. I agree with Brianna. Please send us climate memes. All right. Well, I hope y'all have a great rest of your...
Quarantine.
Quarantine!
Dun, dun, dun.